chapter 7. Is everybody there? If you don't have it in front of you, you can follow along on the screen. I want you to have it in front of you because the power of what I'm going to say tonight is not something I made up or something I thought would be clever. This is God's Word. So you have access to God's Word every day. God's Word is a gift. And so as we read this, God is speaking. So let's pray. We'll begin in verse 24 and we'll read to verse 30. So it says, He, Jesus, got up and departed from there to go to the region of Tyre. The there that he's talking about is he is in Galilee. He is in the place where he's been doing a lot of ministry, where Jesus did most of his ministry in Galilee. So that's what there is. And he went to the region of Tyre, okay? Tyre with a Y, not an I. Tyre, which was a region full of Gentiles. Gentiles were people who were not Jews. These were people who were outside of God's chosen family. Jesus took a kind of a retreat to Tyre. Okay, so that's kind of setting up what's going on. He entered a house and did not want anyone to notice. He didn't want anyone to know it, but he could not escape notice. I love that about Jesus. No one can ignore him. In verse 25, it says, immediately after hearing about him, a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Gentile, a Syrophoenician. And I want to talk about that for a second. Syrophoenician is a kind of two words put together. So a Syrophoenician was a person who was from the area of Syria and Phoenicia together. They put that together, Syrophoenician. Okay, it sounds really scary, but it's not. It's sort of like I'm from Illinois and I'm also from Kentucky. So if you take Illinois and Kentucky and combine that, it's like illy yucky. But that would be a weird, I don't go around saying I'm an illy yuckier. You say you're yucky for real, man. But anyway, this lady was a Syrophoenician. She was a Gentile. She was an outsider, okay? So let's look at what this lady does. In verse 25, she immediately hears about Jesus. Immediately after hearing about him, a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit came and fell at his feet. Those words, that the unclean spirit there, that means a demon. So this poor little girl is possessed by a demon. And her mom has maybe tried everything. And she hears that Jesus is around. And she says, my little girl needs Jesus. And it says immediately after she heard Jesus was around, she took action. We can learn a lesson from her right away that her faith caused her to take action. Faith doesn't sit still. Faith takes action. Faith goes to Jesus. So after hearing about him, the woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit, she came and fell at his feet. And this was a no-no in that time, for a couple of reasons. Strike one against this happening was she was a woman and Jesus was a man. Strike two is she was not a Jew. She was a Gentile. And in those days, they didn't get along very well. And it was inappropriate for her to talk to Jesus, but she didn't care. It said the woman was a Gentile, a Syrophoenician by birth. And we know that means she's from Syria and Phoenicia, which is not the Jewish territory. And she was asking, listen to this, she was asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. I love this lady. I love this lady because she was a good mom. Like, think about what a good mom. Like, she didn't care that she had to act a fool to go to Jesus. Like, she was a good mom. Like, you guys know me, most of you know me pretty well. I am not a good athlete. Like, nobody looks at me, you know, when they're picking teams for basketball and they say, that the short, hairy guy? No, not the one. Nobody picks me, right? But to my mom, I'm Michael Jordan, right? My mom thinks I'm a good athlete. I played in high school. I played basketball in high school. I was on the basketball team at my high school, okay? And my mom would come to every single game, and she would sit at the middle of the court, up at the top, and she'd cheer for the whole team. And then almost every game, I got to come in at the very end of the game. Have you ever seen like the end of the game where like the game's close, and so they have to foul the other teams to make them shoot free throws, right? Has you ever seen that? That was my job. My coach would get me. He said, "Jacob, come here. You're going in." I'm like, "Yes, Mom's going to be so proud." And he would say, "Jacob, I want you to go in there and foul the other team. That way Zach doesn't have to waste one of his fouls. And then I'm going to take you back out, and then Zach can play the offense." So my job was to go in for 4 seconds at a time, try to foul a guy. And as soon as I checked in, guess what? I heard my mom at the top. She did this really embarrassing thing. She would go, "That's Jakey boy." She would do that every time. And I still think it's embarrassing. It was a little lower than that. It wasn't, it was, and so I would check in. And this was a small school. It wasn't like, you know, playing in a huge arena. So everyone heard, whoom, whoom, whoom. My mom did not care. She wanted me to know that she believed in me, even if my only job was to go and foul. She didn't care that she was going to act a fool for me. She wanted me to know that she believed in me. You know, my mom was a gift from God. Like, she not only supported me through games, but she supported me in prayer. Like, my mom prayed for me through those weird high school years, college years. My mom stuck with me. She didn't give up on me in the midst of some of the most troubling times. If you have a mom that prays for you, like, that's a gift. Like, this mom in our passage today, she went to Jesus for her daughter who was possessed by a demon. And you may say, "Well, you know, I don't have a demon. I'm not possessed by a demon." But sometimes you act like it, right? And your mom, ask your mom. She said, "Mom, sometimes you think I got a demon?" She said, "Yes, absolutely." But if you got a mama who prays for you, if you got a dad who prays for you, that's a gift from God. And maybe that's your takeaway from tonight, is you need to go home and say, "Thank you, God, for my mom." Maybe you need to go home and tell your mom, "Thank you for praying for me. Thank you for taking me to Jesus, even when in those times where I didn't even want to have anything to do with him." So she in verse 26, she was asking Jesus to cast out the demon, to cast out the demon out of her daughter. And I love that about this lady, that she wasn't a Jewish lady. She wasn't familiar with Jesus' religion, but she did know how to pray. And what she did was she just said, "Jesus, this is what I need." And we can learn from this lady here a really important thing. We can pray by telling God exactly what we need. That's the only thing. There were no extravagant words. It was, "Jesus, will you please heal my daughter?" Verse 27 is one of the most shocking verses in Scripture. Verse 27, Jesus said to her, "Let the children be fed first." He's talking about the Jews when he says the children. You know, God's plan all along was to use the Gentile or the Jewish people to save the whole world. That started with Abraham, and that was finished on the cross and at Jesus' resurrection, where he opened the way for Jews and Gentiles to come. But what he's saying is, right now, my mission is just to Jews. So let the children be fed first, because it isn't right to take the children's bread, and listen to this, and throw it to the dogs. When I read this at first, I'm thinking, like, "Man, Jesus, you grumpy. Like, you calling this lady a dog, man. What are you doing?" And then as you kind of study it, as you kind of look at it, Jesus is not calling this lady a dog. He's not insulting her. In the original language, there were two words that he could have used. There was a word that meant dog, like a bad way, but he meant it like dog in a good way, like a pet, like a puppy, like I love you, like I'm affectionate towards you. And he's showing affection towards her. But he's also saying, I've got a mission that I've got to stick to, okay? So, like, I've got little girls. So what Jesus is saying is, in the morning, if it would be wrong for me in the morning when I feed them their Pop-Tarts and milk in the morning, it'd be wrong for me to take the Pop-Tart off the table and give it to Nora, to give it to a puppy. We don't even have a puppy, so that'd be really wrong. I'm going to be like, "Whose puppy is this?" But it would be wrong. And Jesus is saying, first, my mission is first to the Jews and then to the Gentiles. And then, but Jesus is testing her in there. He's not making fun of her. He's testing her faith. And look at how she responds. This is very, very, very important. Verse 28, but she replied to Jesus. So Jesus said, it's not right to give the bread to the dogs. We've got to give it to the children. She replied, Lord, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. Even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. I've got kids. I know what that's like. If you come to our house today, like, and you're a dog, it's like a Thanksgiving dinner underneath our table. There's crumbs everywhere. And she's saying, the dogs get the table scraps. The dogs get the crumbs. And she's not just kind of telling him about how dogs work. She's telling him kind of just in a really neat way, I have faith in what you have, Jesus. She's saying, Jesus, I have faith in you. Her response reveals that she trusts in Jesus. Her response reveals that she believes that what Jesus has is enough. And I love what she's saying. She said, Jesus, what you got and who you are, I just need a crumb of that. I don't need the whole loaf. I just need a crumb of what you've got because I need you to come and heal my daughter. And I know who you are. You are the God who created all things, and you could just speak right now and heal my little daughter. So just give me a little crumb. Just give me a little crumb of your power, and that will be enough. And then I love Jesus' response after that. Then he told the lady, because of this reply, you may go. Because of this reply, you may go. The demon has left your daughter. He said, because of your reply. Notice what the passage does not say. The passage does not say, so Jesus got up and went to the little girl's house and he touched her and he said, get out of here, demons. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that Jesus spoke words and he said, demon, way over there, go. It says, because of her reply, because of her words, because of this mother's words of faith, because of this mother's faith that was placed in the right place. And Jesus said, because of your reply, because your reply when I tested your faith was to keep on trusting in me, because of that, your little daughter is healed. Because of that, the demon is gone. I love that about this situation. Here's what we see. Jesus's healing power has Wi-Fi. He doesn't got to be physically present to heal this girl. And that's important for you, because if you were honest, you would say, man, I wish Jesus would come and be physically present with me sometimes. Because sometimes when I'm at home, when I'm in my room by myself, when I've had a bad day, when it seems like everyone hates me, I wish Jesus would come and be physically present with me. And what this passage encourages me with is the truth is Jesus' power has Wi-Fi. Jesus can come and speak words of truth over me. And Jesus doesn't have to be physically present. Jesus is with me all the time. And his power can heal from wherever, as long as I have faith, as long as I have a crumb of faith in his power. So verse 30, when she went back to her home, I love that, Jesus said, go home, get out of here, lady. Your daughter has been healed because of your reply. You may go. It said, she went back to her home. Like, I love this about this mom who was like one of those like mama bears, like, I'm taking care of my kids. She believed in Jesus so much that she didn't need any more proof from him to go to her daughter. She believed him. She, the whole way she's walking home, she's like, I believe in Jesus. I know he healed my daughter. If he didn't, I'm coming back as a mean dog to Jesus, right? But she had faith. So she's walking home. She went to her home and she found her child lying on the bed. Oh no, right? She found the daughter's lying on the bed and the demon was gone. Those last five words, and the demon was gone, mean everything, because Jesus promised. He said, you may go. Your daughter has been healed. Everything that Jesus says comes true. Everything that Jesus promised comes true. That's true for this lady who wasn't even inside. She was a total outsider. And that's true for you. If you're here, you're a Christian. Every promise for God is true for you. And the truth of this passage is Jesus has power to cast out any demon. Jesus has power to heal any disease. Jesus has power to heal any discomfort in us. Okay? We just need to have faith. We need to have that faith even in just a crumb of who Jesus' power is, we need to have faith in who he is. So as we think what we need to do to respond to this passage, I want to just encourage all of us to learn a lesson from this woman. Okay, so if you're here, you're a Christian. If you're here, you're not a Christian. Our response is the same. The first one is this: go to Jesus. This lady, she went to Jesus. She heard about him and she went to him. Some of y'all need to learn that. You need to go to him. Your faith should lead you to action. Like, I can't tell you how many times I've been overwhelmed by something too big for me, and I'll be so worried about it, and then somehow God will ask me, like, have you prayed about this? Or maybe one of my godly friends will say, yeah, have you prayed about that thing yet? And maybe the same is true for you. Go to Jesus. And the second one is pray to Jesus. Tell him your needs. Tell him what you need. You may say, well, I don't know how to pray. I'm not good at praying. This lady wasn't either, but she prayed to Jesus. And she just said with simple words, Jesus, this is what I need, and I believe in you. And the last one is persist with Jesus, to keep on believing. This lady, she got kind of a weird answer from Jesus at first. Sometimes Jesus, when you pray, he's going to give you a weird answer. He's going to say, not yet. Or he's going to say, I'll tell you later. You got to keep on keeping on with Jesus. He's testing your faith. He wants you to keep on trusting in him. He wants you to keep on believing in him. But you need to persist with Jesus. The truth is, there are crumbs all over the world that you can believe in. There are things that look like bread that will not give you any satisfaction. Jesus never changes. Who he is will never change. And you need to trust in him. Even if it's just a crumb of who he is in your life, that's enough. You need to persist with Jesus. If you're here, you're not a Christian, you've never believed in Jesus, the good news of the gospel is this. Jesus is our creator, and he came to save us. Although we were broken, he came to save us. He came knowing that we were outsiders, knowing that we were broken, knowing that evil was all around us. He came to die in our place on the cross. After living a perfect life, he died on the cross to take the punishment for everything you've ever done wrong. That evil thought you had today, that evil thought you'll have tomorrow, he died for all of that. And then he said on the cross, he said, it is finished, I've paid it all. And in fact, if you're a Christian, he's given you all of his righteousness and he's taken all of your evil. If you're not a Christian, that can be true of you if you place your faith in Jesus. If you say, Jesus, I trust in you. The good news is Jesus did not stay dead after he died on the cross. They buried him, but he was resurrected on the third day. And he is alive and reigning. It says in the scriptures that he is interceding for you. He is praying to God for you right now. Even right now, as you wonder about, well, I think I need to do that. He's praying for you right now that you will do that. And he's saying, come to me. He's the bread of life, and come to him and trust in him. And you can just pray a simple prayer like this lady did and say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. Jesus, I'm broken, and I need you to save me from my sins. Will you forgive me, cleanse me, save me, be my Savior? That's simple prayer. That's all you need to do. If you have questions about that, please talk to me after this. You can text me today, tonight, tomorrow, whenever. You can talk to any adult in here. They would love to talk to you more about what that means. Let me pray for us. Our band's going to come up. As I pray, we're going to sing one more song. Let's go ahead and pray, though.